Today is March the 20th, 2010, and we're going to be doing something a little bit different this afternoon. We're going to be doing an in-depth look at the Masonic Lodge. We've talked about the Masons before, and there's a lot of information that's coming out because of technology on the Masons, and it's not making them look very good. They're not the peaceful little burn centers everybody thinks about. The little Shriners at the Walmart collecting money for the poor little burn child. Yes, they do that, but they do much, much more. They have set about in their alliance with the Illuminati to bring about the New World Order that George Bush Sr. talked a lot about. And so we're going to be looking at some things this morning or this afternoon that may be somewhat startling to our audience. Now, the Bible says that in the last days perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. And they will be marrying and giving in marriage, and that they will be given unto fables. And we've talked about this before, how that we're living in a society where people want to believe things that are not true. Now, one of the things that the Masons purport that is not true is the setting forth that there will be peace on earth. There will be world peace. And that's why there's so much talk about the aliens and the UFOs. This is demonic. And we know that the Masons want to bring in into their power structure, they want to bring in this New World Order. Now, we're going to be looking at several things, and we're going to see kind of the whole genre that is coming on the scene with this whole thing about what they believe, their values, and everything. And it's masked or hidden behind, you know, there's even on the internet now advertisements for becoming a Freemason. Okay? And how to become a Mason, how to become a part of the Masonic Lodge. And it's becoming, they're coming more and more out of the closet as to their mission. And we should not be surprised by this, should we?
No.
I don't think so. I think that this is basically, and we're going to listen to a couple different videos. The first one is called The Illuminati and the New World Order. And just take a listen. Now, there may be some buffering.
What is at stake is more than one small country. It's the big idea. A new world order.
Dan Quayle, Michelle Gorbachev.
Why the world has changed so much and why the world has turned so much toward a new world order and a new kind of civilization.
It first started in 1967 when I found out that I had not gotten the big picture, even though I thought that I had it together. I just didn't have the complete pieces of the picture. This is a giant geopolitical picture, and things are happening with the use of subliminal, indirect, and reverse psychological propaganda. It's made to be confusing by the evil arty that controls not only the United States, but Britain. This Illuminati, this group who call themselves the Enlightened Ones.
This is Anthony J. Milder.
Had gained positions of power through control of the banking system.
Showing all the symbols of the Illuminati and the Masonic Lodge. The pyramid on the back of the dollar bill. Skull and bones.
On the back of the dollar bill, you see the symbol on the left-hand side of the bill, which is Anuit Collectus, which means our enterprise is now a success, or our enterprise is crowned with success. Anuit Collectus. So you say, fine, so you have an enterprise and it's now crowned with success. What enterprise are you talking about? Novas Ordo Seclorum. Novas is novice, meaning new. Ordo is order, and Seclorum is where we get the word secular, meaning the world. So it's new order of the world, the new world order. George Bush's new world order is now a success.
Bill, you've heard an awful lot of dramatic speeches and seen dramatic moments in times of great gravity for the nation. How would you assess this evening?
This was a stirring address, in my view. Shorter than his father's speech when he announced the new world order. Shorter than his father's speech when he announced the new world order.
Join the Illuminati handshake between Ronald Reagan and Gil Gorbachev
when the Federal Reserve actually finally took total control of the United States monetary system, and that's when they said it is now a success, because this is a symbol, this is an emblem of a secret society. A secret society of Freemasons called the Illuminati, the German Bavarian Illuminati. They were a secret society founded in the south of Germany. They were called the Illuminati, the Illuminated Ones, the Enlightened Ones. Anuit Collectus, Novas Ordo Seclorum, and that was in 1774 that the Bavarian Illuminati drew up their plans for what they were going to do in America and how they were going to do it. The triangle at the top with the light emanating from around it is Horus. The god of the ancient Egyptians, of course, this is an Egyptian pyramid. You don't find pyramids in America, you find them in Egypt. And that pyramid is the symbol of the eye, was in the Egyptian religion, Horus, which was the newborn sun. Every morning when the sun came up, his name was Horus. There was, that was the solar divinity in Egypt. Horus was God's son, the light of the world, who is risen. He is our risen savior, our risen. And so Horus was referred to as God's son, and that's why the light is emanating from around, because it's the sun. The sun is a round eyeball of God. The ancient Egyptians believed the pupil of God was God, who was the sun, and he's watching you. And therefore, the sun was very bright. And so today, we even say someone who is extremely intelligent is brilliant, they're brighter. And that's why God is, of course, the most brilliant of all. Therefore, the sun is the most brilliant because it's God's eye. Anyway, there are 13 layers on the pyramid. And the 1776 at the bottom is 1776. A lot of people think it's because of the country being founded in 1776. It has nothing to do with that. As I said, this is on a document published back in 1774-75, and then in 1776 the Roman numerals appeared on it in Europe. So what it amounted to is that the 1776 was when this secret society actually formed itself into a secret society and put itself into operation. They were the basis for what we call today in our country the Bavarian Illuminati was the basis for what we call today the Colombian faction. The Colombian faction of the Illuminati came here right after this government was formed, and that's where we get today Colombia, the Columbia space shuttle, Columbia movies, Columbia television, you know, Columbia records, everything, Columbia University. As a matter of fact, Columbia CBTV, Columbia Broadcasting System, CBS. What is the symbol for CBS? It's the LZR. And that's why our government is in the District of Columbia, because these guys own our government. They print our money, and they own not only the government, but they own you. You are their property. So, in other words, these guys print the money, they run the country, and they own you, and they own everything around it. And so they make the laws, and that's why they can decide who can kill who, and who can get away with who, and who can get away with whatever, because they make the laws, and they decide. All right. As I said to you before, there are 13 layers in this pyramid, there are 13 letters in Enochoetus. The 13 is a very important number to this secret society. The 13 stripes, the 13 stars here, which make up the Star of David, the 13 berries, the 13 leaves, 13 arrows, the 32 feathers here, 33 feathers there. Everything is done in a sequence of 13. 13, of course, is based on, this is what we call Masonic symbolism. Freemasons designed this dollar bill. Everything is done in a sequence of 13, and again, I draw your attention to the fact that you have 13 stars here, which collectively make up the Star of David, which is the reason why. On the $1 bill at the top, you'll see this little image right here. But if you blow it up from an actual photograph, you'll see it as a little owl. The symbol of a Bohemian society. The Bohemian society meets in California on the last 2 weeks of July of every year. I have pictures showing all of the presidents, all of the living presidents, excluding the new one, but all of the living presidents at Bohemian Grove in Northern California, and they're all wearing red and black Ku Klux Klan dress type of regalia, like the Ku Klux Klan is, with the pointed headdress and everything. And that's quite a sight, the two presidents dressed like Ku Klux Klan members, right? And they're standing in front of a big open pit of fire, and behind them is about a 20 to 25 foot owl behind them. And the article in Elm Magazine and Time Magazine, I've got two or three different magazines showing basically the same picture. It says that the presidents meet with all of the heads of industry throughout the world, all of the heads of state throughout the world, and all of the most important wheeler dealers in this country, and they all meet up in Northern California, and they have rituals where they go before the owl after midnight. And what a picture you got. With all the presidents dressed up like Ku Klux Klaners with black and red robes on before an owl. And these are your presidents of this country. And the reason why they chose the owl is because the owl is a symbol used in Europe by secret societies, because the owl is...
You are living on is the front lane. The product being manufactured.
Well, there's one of the short videos. Now we're going to hear one that is a little bit more up to date, and this is a little bit more focused on the Illuminati. Is Barack Obama, is he a Freemason? Is he a Freemason?
The audience behind me has promised to be quiet, except at this moment when we welcome Barack Obama and John McCain.
Now, the horns and the symbol, it's a symbol of the Bohemian Grove. The devil's horns, right? Well, we know that the goat, have you ever seen the Dodge and Chrysler symbol on the car? The back of the car? Well, everybody says, oh, then Bush is just doing the Texas Longhorns when he makes the devil signs. Are they all saying I love you? I don't think so. You know, you can look at these... Again, politicians and world leaders around. There's Bill Clinton making the devil sign, of course. And the top leaders all over the world are making that sign, the same sign. You explain that to me, would you? Yeah? It's a universal sign. Sarkowski. The ones that names I will name on here. A lot of these people I don't know. There's Ronald Reagan making the old sign. Very clearly. There's George Bush and Condoleezza Rice looking on.
Is that Mel Ice?
There's Miss Kennedy, who's married to the governor of California. There's Dan Quayle. There's some Chinese leaders making the symbol. Yes, they're all in it together. One world government. All coming together under the auspices of that. Muslims do it too, don't they? There's Arafat making the symbol. Oh, even the gentleman from Iran.
Mm-hmm.
With both hands making the symbol. How about people in religion? Yep, they're involved in it too. There's Pat Robertson. Oh, there's Rodney Brown, the laughing guy making the symbol. Now we know where they're getting. Duplantis, wouldn't you know it? Where's Benny at? Mm-hmm. Is he on there? Oh, there he is, both hands making the symbol. And there's Copeland. That's how these people are getting all their money, is through the Illuminati. Now the royal family. Yeah, Prince William. Yes, and the Queen herself. The Bushes love it. Of course, they try to say it's the Longhorns from Texas. But they all like to do it. And so does Mrs. Bush. There's Barbara Bush, and there's Bush's daughter. Very out in front about it, aren't they?
In nuclear war, this plan expands the list of presidential successors. Multiple sources have told CNN that in certain narrowly defined circumstances, an individual not in the legal line of succession, or even in government, could become president, despite the fact that the American people have had no role in selecting that person. The hidden government plan is the result of 4 decades of nuclear escalation. 4 decades of threat and counter-threat. In the 1980s, continuity of government planners were haunted by a grim possibility. A nuclear wartime scenario called decapitation. A surprise nuclear strike on Washington that kills most of the country. Chopping the head off the government, leaving no one prepared to take over the presidency. To reduce the possibility of decapitation, the National Program Office was directed to create a new program to assure the continuity of government. It was known as the Presidential Successor Support System, or PSQ.
He has designed the new presidential successor program to ensure that there will be enough experienced leaders ready to take over key jobs in the executive branch after a nuclear war. So additional successors, beyond those provided for by the Constitution and by U.S. laws, were added to the list of potential presidents. The presidential successor support system's rationale, that to protect the United States constitutional form of government from the ultimate threat, it is necessary to have this alternate system of succession. But ironically, the new system, as it is now operating, could dramatically alter the established rules of succession.
The program itself would suspend that natural succession, and these individuals would have the right to appoint, virtually appoint, from it.
Ralph is a source who knows the details of much of the NPO's succession plan. He and our other sources about the NPO, like Bob, would talk on camera only if their names, faces, and voices were changed.
In some cases, it may be necessary to even go outside of the active current government to bring in that expertise in a period of crisis.
So in the nuclear war, it's hypothetically possible that someone who's outside of government could become a cabinet officer, vice president, or even president?
Hypothetically speaking, it could happen anywhere in the chamber. Yes, it most certainly could.
The presidential successor support system, a secret government in waiting if a nuclear war comes. CNN's special assignment has learned the names of a number of former government officials whose sources tell us have, at one time or another, been part of the NPO's PSQ program. In the event of disaster, one of them could become president. Howard Baker, the former and White House Chief of Staff, never before in the line of succession. Rittholm, the former director of the CIA, never before in the line of succession. Jean Kirkpatrick, the former ambassador to the nation, never before in the line of succession until called on by the NPO. Former Secretary of Defense James Schlesinger, in the line of succession, but before the NPO was set up. Dick Cheney, Edwin Meese, Tip O'Neill, and Dick Thornburgh. All have been in the line of succession by virtue of their offices, but our sources say the NPO gave them additional responsibilities under the new system. None of these officials would talk to us on the record about their role in the NPO's plan, but some program insiders defend the alternate plan of succession.
Remember, we're talking about a final circumstance. I don't think there would be any option for that. How can we predict who will survive? It can't be done. So we have to go on the front line.
Well, it's certainly a pleasure to be here and to have a chance just to meet with you and talk about some of the problems that we're facing. Now, some of these problems are local, some are national, some are global, but they're all tied together. They're tied together with arithmetic, and the arithmetic isn't very difficult. Now, what I hope to do is I hope to be able to convince you that the greatest shortcoming of the human race is our inability to understand the exponential function. So you say, well, what's the exponential function? This is a mathematical function that you would write down if you're going to describe the size of anything that was growing steadily. If you had something growing 5% per year, you'd write the exponential function to show how large that growing quantity was year after year. And so we're talking about a situation where the time that's required for the growing quantity to increase by a fixed fraction is a constant, 5% per year.
Now, one of the things is that the presupposition is the depopulation of the world. And to try to significantly reduce the surplus population. And that is the whole New World Order's agenda. We know that's one of the reasons why they want to get rid of so many people, is because of the surplus population that's on this planet. Now, review again of the linkage between the Illuminati and the Masonic Lodge, the real truth about the Freemasons. Now, I can't go through the whole thing. I'm going to just go to take the second series and watch that, and then we'll conclude this for this evening. What can we do about this? Well, we can pray. We can realize God's sovereign over evil and realize that we're living in perilous times. On Google, on the international bankers, because there is a direct correlation to the international bankers and the Illuminati, the Bohemian Grove, the Bilderbergers, and of course you might want to do a study on the Council on Foreign Relations and the past members of the Council on Foreign Relations, including Henry Kissinger and Schlesinger and Baker, who they announced earlier, and people like the Bush family roots and their funding of the World War II and Hitler. You might think it's just crazy, but it's not. Now, I'm going to go back and try to start this video again and see if it can keep up.
Freemasons' hall is full of various Masonic symbols. Inside, there are as many as 20 small temples, together with the Grand Temple, with its mosaic ceiling, stained glass windows, and carved doors. The guide at Freemasons' Hall explained that these magically charged handles gave a Freemason leaving the building extra energy to use in the struggle against the enemies of the order. On the walls are murals showing angels with goat's feet, as if they were devils. The whole building radiates an exceedingly negative energy, which causes one's aura to shrink. The secret society that controls everything within Freemasonry was founded in Ingolstadt, Bavaria, on the 1st of May 1776 as the Perfectibilists. The founder was the 28-year-old university professor at Weishaupt. Presumably in 1779, the new secret and subversive organization was rechristened the Illuminati Order, and Weishaupt attached it at certain well-chosen points to Freemasonry. Its most important slogan became, "The Illuminati must rule the world." The motto of the Illuminati was freedom, equality, brotherhood. On the 20th of July, 1785, the courier of the Illuminati, Jacob Lantz, who worked as a priest, was struck by lightning near Rattenburg in Bavaria and died. He had sewn a list of Illuminati members and some compromising papers into his priest's robe. The local police found other important documents at Lantz's house, including detailed instructions for the coming French Revolution. Some of the papers were addressed to the Grand Master of the Grand Orient in Paris. Everything was handed over to the Bavarian government, and on the 4th of August 1785, a ban on secret societies was issued. The Grand Duke of Bavaria ordered some of the confiscated secret documents to be printed under the titles "Some Original Documents of the Illuminati Order" and "Supplement of Further Original Documents." These were not taken seriously until it was too late. Today, these documents exist only in the city archives in Ingolstadt, amongst other historical volumes, of great interest. The Illuminati wish to be free and independent. The more freedom the Freemasons acquire, the more enslaved are the non-Freemasons. In order to entrap people, the Freemasons have to maintain that they are the angels of light, and that all talk about their evil intentions is nothing but manifestations of the sick imagination. The Eimer Pyramid still graces the $1 bill. It was President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Freemason of the 32nd degree, who ordered the seal to be printed on the dollar bill in 1933, 144 years after Congress had accepted the seal. The seal symbolizes the Illuminati claim to control America, no matter who is president. The Masonic pyramid on the dollar bill is built of 33 stones. The supranational socialist power the Illuminati aspire to was summed up in the concept of Novus Ordo Seclorum, the New World Order.
Now we can see a new world coming into view.
Videos. And we're going to see how they sum it all up. And there's the sixth part of the sixth video. So we're going to listen to that, and then that will be the end of this very exhaustive study on the Freemasons. But bear with me as they have to buffer from time to time.
The special archives in Moscow contain documents that show the Freemasonry in Washington, D.C. is located exactly 13 blocks from the White House. Everything in this building is wrought with
Now, while that's buffering,
listen.
I'm going to just
right-hand stone line in front of
just recapitulate a little bit what we've been talking about. A lot of people trace the Masons back to Solomon's Temple, but it goes much further back than that. Goes back to actually pre-Solomon days, and it goes back as far as Lucifer himself. Lucifer was a light bearer, enlightened one, and he fell, and he brought a third of the angels with him down to this earth, and ever since, the princes of darkness have resided in the hearts of evil men who have been full of sedition. And what the Old Testament, the New Testament Revelation calls the synagogue of Satan. So that's what we've been given account of tonight. And it's a very strong and powerful, and life has no meaning to these people. None whatsoever. And people that come against them often are murdered and killed and set up and charged with wrongful crimes and everything else, because the judges are involved in this thing too. Now we're going to go back and try to get this video going.
The special archives in Moscow contain documents that show the Jewish Order B'nai B'rith sends the covenant as superior to all other branches of Freemasonry. That it, in fact, constitutes a kind of Freemasonry within Freemasonry. The B'nai B'rith was founded under the name Bundesbruder by 12 German Jewish Freemasons on the 13th of October, 1843, at Saint-Germain Café in New York City. The Supreme Council of 33rd Degrees for the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry in Washington, D.C., is located exactly 13 blocks from the White House. Everything in this building is wrought with symbolism. The right-hand stone line in front of the building is a symbol of wisdom, while the left-hand line represents...
Join inside this Supreme Council. Welcome to the J. Edgar Hoover Room.
Masonic leaders in history is General Albert Pike, born in 1809 in Boston, a well-known lawyer in the South. Pike became a Freemason as late as 1850. Pike was elected to the Supreme Council on the 2nd of January, 1859, and became the Sovereign Grand Commander of the Supreme Council. A passage in the Supreme Council of World Freemasonry, officially Southern Jurisdiction in Washington, D.C., states, "Members of the Masonic fraternity have always played an important position in our nation's history." The Freemasons have erected a monument in honor of Albert Pike in Judiciary Square in Central Washington, D.C. The plaque on the statue presents Pike as an orator, a lawyer, a philosopher, a scientist, a writer, a philanthropist, a soldier, and a poet. Albert Pike, his Illuminatus name was Limmel Henhoff, who was called the devil of the 19th century, was very obsessed with the idea of world supremacy. He wished to see three world wars and three great revolutions that would pave the way for a world government. The foremost aim of the Freemasons was real world power. From the United Nations emblem, it is clearly seen that the 33 degrees of Freemasonry already control the world. Around this circular symbol, containing a grid of 33 sections, there are two olive branches with 13 leaves on either side, which symbolize a concretion of the spiritual means of development. To the Freemasonry, the acacia is its chief symbolic sign, whose esoteric meaning is very intense activity. The purpose of Masonic globalism is a new world order and a world government. Masonic war against mankind is a slow-moving process. In a speech to the Congress on the 6th of March, 1991, President George Herbert Bush said,
"Now we can see a new world coming into view. A world in which there is a very real prospect of a new world order."
David Rockefeller Jr. stated to the United Nations Business Council in 1994, "We are on the verge of global transformation. All we need is the right major crisis, and the nations will accept the new world order." Charles Tart, professor of psychology at the University of California, in 1987 wrote in his book, Waking Up, that humankind has fallen into the insanity of consensus trance and lost touch with our true possibilities and functions is a tragedy.
People say, "I'm not here, not here." Well, it can happen, yes. These people have no regard for human life. It's all about power and control and money. Less for power. What it's about. So we hope this has been enlightening, no pun intended using that word, to the people listening tonight to this program.
attempt to illustrate the concealed history of Freemasonry as depicted in the book Architects of Deception. When the evil of international Freemasonry reaches its critical mass, Freemasonry will be destroyed from within. This is a law of nature. The secret power of Freemasonry carries within it the seeds of its own destruction, and the growth is far advanced.
Well, that's going to end the discussion for tonight, and we hope that you will take this information and use it, share it with your friends and neighbors, and hopefully one day, in the not too far distant future, the Illuminati and Masonic Lodge, we know, and it will eventually be brought to their knees under the Kingdom of Christ.